From Bright Umbrella, this is Control ClickCast. We inspect the web for you. Today, special guest Matt Weinberg returns to the show, this time to talk about Expression Engine e-commerce and Vector Media's acquisition of Kartthrob. I'm your host, Leah Alcantara, and I'm joined by my fab co-host,
Emily Lewis.
This episode is brought to you by Ellis Lab. Expression Engine 3 is the brand new release of the most flexible and powerful content management system on the planet. Have you tried it out yet? Download the free core version or be one of the first 50 podcast listeners to get $50 off with the coupon code CTRL plus 5050. Don't worry, we'll have this in our show notes so you can copy it right exactly. This exclusive promotion is good for 1 week only. So get it today at expressionengine.com.
If you've been listening to the show lately, you know that over the past few months, we've been talking a lot about e-commerce. We chatted about Perch e-commerce and Craft 2, and we even have a Statamic episode in our archive. Today, we're rounding out the CMS e-commerce discussion with Expression Engine, specifically the third-party Kartthrob add-on, which was acquired by Vector Media Group earlier this year. And we have Vector Media Group's very own president of technology, Matt Weinberg, with us today to help us navigate the discussion. Welcome back to the show, Matt.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
So for those that don't know you, can you tell our listeners a bit more about yourself?
Absolutely. I am the co-founder and president of development and technology at Vector Media Group. That means I lead our development team. I do a lot of infrastructure planning, security, auditing type stuff. And I've been doing e-commerce sites forever, basically, in the internet world. A couple years is forever. And I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, and I have a 9-week-old son.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And just a little tidbit for our listeners, and I may have said this when we had you on the last time, but you were on CBS Sunday Morning. Like, I watch that every Sunday morning. I've like turned into my mom. As I get older, I'm like doing all the stuff she does. But CBS Sunday Morning is like a Sunday morning ritual with my coffee. And they had a whole like segment. You were in it in Vector Media Group offices and stuff. It was so cool.
Yes. So the coolest parts about that for me were, first of all, the host, Mo Rocca, is just an amazing person. And I'm still in touch with him. Like, he and I still email and talk.
Oh, really? Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I love his My Grandmother's Ravioli show. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so that's very cool.
And then the other funny thing is, I live on Long Island now, but at that time I was living in New York City. And you know, I never talked to my neighbors, like the people who live across the hall from me. Like, never spoken a word to them in my life. But after that aired, like, people that I had not spoken to forever, and I'd been living across them, they would, like, kind of look at me and turn and look at me again and go, "Were you on CBS this weekend?" So it's, like, the only time we've ever talked.
So now real famous.
Yeah, I had one of those where I was like, "I know him. Our podcast is on the same level as CBS Sunday Morning because we had the same guest."
I think you guys are cooler. I mean, I was I was not on, you know, their show for that long.
Oh, that's cool.
So let's get into today's topic. I kind of want to first talk about Kartthrob. For our listeners who may not be aware, it's a pretty popular third-party e-commerce add-on for EE. Matt, can you share the history of the add-on and why Vector Media Group acquired it?
Sure. You know, Kartthrob is, in our totally biased opinions, the best Expression Engine e-commerce add-on. But we've actually thought that way for a long time. And the add-on was originally created, I don't know, let's call it like 5-6 years ago by a group called Mighty Big Robot. There's a guy named Chris Newton. They had a developer named Rob Sanchez working for them. Rob Sanchez is a name a lot of people in the e-community know. Rob actually works here at Vector now. He's worked here for a little bit under 2 years, but that is totally unrelated to Kartthrob. Yeah, Rob's one of our developers. But it's totally unrelated. So you know, they came out with Kartthrob, I guess 6 years ago or so. It was for EE1, EE2, Mighty Big Robot came out with a couple more add-ons, including some add-ons for Kartthrob itself, like Kartthrob Wishlist and subscriptions and those. And it was really well-loved, and we loved it. We used it for so many projects, and it was really what we felt was always always had the best approach to e-commerce, which is storing orders inside of regular entries and giving you that power. So we've used it on so many projects. And about a year ago, I guess, just the amount of support required was kind of overwhelming for Mighty Big Robot, which was effectively a one or two person shop, maybe even like a one and a half person shop at that point. And they really couldn't give the dedication to updating the product and the support that their customers really expected. So a couple months ago, they announced that they were just going to shut the whole thing down. We found that to be a major issue for us for two reasons. One is that we use it, like a lot of our clients use it, and some of our clients were even, you know, messaging us saying, what's going on with this? Now I'm on software, it's been discontinued, et cetera, et cetera. But also, I mean, we just have a lot of ideas about CarThrob. We have, I mean, there are bug fixes that we've made internally that we think could be applied to the product, but we just have so many ideas about how to make it better. So I've always been pretty friendly with Chris. I reached out. I said, hey, I'd hate to see this great product get shut down. What can we do? And we went back and forth. It was a very easy negotiation. I think we were all on the same page. I think Chris, one thing that was very important to him was that CarThrob would get a good home. You know, not just that he'd get money, but I think he was very concerned about the future of CarThrob. And I think he felt confident that Vector, as such a well-known agency, especially in the e-commerce world, would really give it a home and improve it and let it grow. So it was a very easy negotiation. They were super easy to work with. And I guess back in August or so, we acquired it. And now it's ours, along with a whole bunch of other Mighty Big Robot add-ons like Profile Edit and Field Editor and a few others.
That's really cool. So I'm curious, I mean, it sounds like a rather smooth process. Were there any major challenges once CarThrob was officially yours?
Yeah, so many. And none of these are the fault of Chris or anybody on that team who I honestly cannot speak highly enough of. You know, one thing is just you don't even think about this when you're doing an acquisition, but just the actual process of getting the stuff over. You know, these guys have years of code, they have servers, but those servers have like their personal domains and their personal emails, and like we're obviously not buying that stuff, their personal stuff, and like they're paying for this, there's SSL certificates, there's like, you know, all these things. But there's also like some email addresses that are the support email address. And all these little things, I hate to say, I didn't even think about that. Like, how are we going to even get the software over? There's things like the devotee account, there's the Twitter account, the Facebook group, like, you know, the GitHub account. So we tried our best to make a list. Chris and the team at Mighty Big Robot were super accommodating. And then afterwards, you know, we all did this in good faith, right? So if we found something afterwards, like, oh, we totally forgot about the GitHub account, you know, they gave it to us. But just getting everything over to our servers and changing the DNS, transferring the domains, transferring the emails, but making sure we didn't take their emails, that was a big pain. And then the support queue. I mean, it's no shock, I think, to anybody to say that CarThrob support prior to us had been a little bit ignored. Again, Mighty Big Robot is one person, maybe one and a half, two people. So we expected that we'd have new support requests. I didn't think we expected quite the backlog of requests that were in there. And, you know, we wanted to make sure we spread the word about what was happening. So we actually went back to the help desk, found all the open tickets that had never been responded to from, you know, in some cases for weeks or months. And we wrote to those people and we were just honest. And we said, hey, we've acquired it. We hope to do better for you. If you decided to move on, we totally get it. If there's still something we can help you with, please let us know. And that took us a while, but I think it was worth it to help people understand that we are dedicated to this product.
That kind of communication, did you have to do that as well from a marketing standpoint, letting people know the new ownership of the product, especially, you know, in such a, you know, a tight-knit EE community? Was there any pushback or were people generally happy?
You know, well, I would say that probably if people are unhappy, they would be less likely to tell me than if they were happy. Well, maybe that's not true. Maybe people are more likely to complain.
I feel like the EE community tells people what they think.
Yeah,
that's true.
I get that impression.
We've gotten basically across the board positive responses. You know, one thing that was really important to us is that when we acquired the software, I said August before, it was actually late or mid-July, and one of the gateways that's pretty popular, they were changing their API, and CarThrob was about to be totally incompatible, and it was like end of August that was going to change. And so one of the first things we did was we put out a small maintenance release just fixing that. And we just wanted to prove to people, like, hey, we know that this software has not even had a maintenance release in quite a while, and lots of people were sending out tickets about this, you know, API change they were not going to be able to you know, process orders. We just wanted to prove right away, yes, we are on top of this. We are going to be updating the software. It is not in the, you know, Deadpool. So that was important, and people have been really receptive and happy.
I was happy as well. CartThrob was one of the first solutions I worked with for e-commerce project. And again, the reason why I felt really comfortable with it right away was because it uses just regular entries. And it was something I was already familiar with because I'd been using Expression Engine. So there wasn't a whole mind shift in terms of how to think about content. Products were content. So your description just then about the maintenance release for the API that was changing, it kind of leads nicely to my next question. So what was your initial goal upon acquisition? Was it just to get the existing system working and supported, or did you also want to start adding new features, making big overhauls to support the way your team approaches development?
The answer is yes.
All of the above.
But I guess to be more specific, our number one immediate goal was to make sure people knew it wasn't being discontinued. Because one of the things is that the old owner had put up a web page, like had changed CartThrob.com to saying this product is over, it's being discontinued. And that got spread around. I mean, it got sent on the devotee mailing list. People were talking about it on Twitter. Some of our clients asked about it. It would have been more ideal if we had started those conversations earlier, so there was never that page. So I think our very first instinct was just make sure people know, you know what? No, it's not getting discontinued. It's in good hands. Like, please don't move to competitors. We're still here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And convincing people the truth, which is that we really are investing in this product. It wouldn't make sense for us to buy it and then not really invest in it. So we put up a blog post. We said we are wanting to invest in this. We have resources dedicated. And then there were a couple like really immediate bugs that we wanted to fix. One of them was that API upgrade that had a big time limit on it. You know, we needed to have that upgraded by the 31st or 30th or whatever it was from a couple weeks after. There were a couple other bugs, things that we just had been fixing for clients every time that we had done a CartThrob installation that we knew about. So we wanted to fix those. One of the bugs that was such a big bug is that CartThrob internally has a support portal. If you go to the CartThrob module page, you can email support. I mean, that hasn't been working in probably 2 years.
Oh, wow.
But the issue is people don't know it's not working. So people submit a support request there. It goes into the ether, basically. It's never received.
No.
And they think that support's just being ignored. So we released version 2.7 weeks ago that fixes that issue too. and I know there's still a lot of non-2.7 users out there, but hopefully this just is fixed going forward. So those were big fixes. But then the other thing is we acquired an add-on called CT Admin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was made by a guy named Eric Lamb, Mythor62. He's a super smart guy, great developer. And he actually reached out to us when he heard some rumors that we might be acquiring CartThrob, asked if we were interested in it. We feel like CT Admin has a lot of features that would fit very well into CartThrob itself. So part of our plan is to end up rolling a lot of CT Admin features into the base CartThrob package, which I think you'll see shortly from us.
Nice. You just literally answered one of our listener questions. Andrew Armitage had written in asking, what are the plans to incorporate CT Admin into CartThrob?
Yeah. I don't think all the features necessarily belong. There's some stuff in CT Admin that's great, but it would be maybe confusing or weird for everyone who uses CartThrob, which is, a much more diverse set of customers than people imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some of the features definitely belong in there. But then the weird place we're in now, there's also the EE3 upgrade. So it doesn't make a lot of sense for us to build a whole bunch of new features into CartThrob that we then have to upgrade for EE3. So our number one priority right now, after we did those bug fixes that we already did, is EE3 compatibility.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And as part of EE3 compatibility, there's going to be a bunch of new stuff, a bunch of new features, part of the CT Admin rolling in situation. And then at that point, we'll be just focusing on new features and everything else.
So does that mean that CT Admin will still exist as a product, as its current full-featured product, but then there will be some of its features brought into CartThrob?
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, okay. I'm not sure. It's a good question. Some of the features are definitely going to be brought in. And if it looks like those features are a lot of the rationale for CT Admin existing, then I don't think it makes sense for CT Admin to be a separate $300 product, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe it turns into like some free add-ons. Maybe it's like some cheaper extension to CartThrob. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just put them all in, but make it so that, you know, advanced users kind of get better access. We don't confuse the regular users. I don't know. We haven't decided that quite yet.
So before we dive more into the technical aspects of CartThrob, I'm just a little fascinated over the business of, you know, add-on development, because primarily Vector Media Group is a services, you know, company. You guys make the websites and stuff. Now it seems like you're focusing on product development, especially with this CartThrob. Like, is that something that you guys are going to start adding like more attention towards, and why is that?
It's a really good question, and it's something that we debated a lot in mm-hmm. the lead up to purchasing CartThrob, which was not an insignificant you know, financial investment for us. And in some ways, just I'll get back to your question in a second, but just to kind of set up context, like in some ways, our initial investment into actually purchasing it isn't even the most investment. Like, we're going to spend way more time / money in upgrading EE3, in upgrading mm-hmm. for EE3 and dealing with all the support and the inevitable stuff that happens with that, probably than we end up spending on it, the product itself, you know, just
right.
because it's such a big, complicated product.
Right.
So it's a very complicated discussion. The net is that we are a services company. We benefit from doing websites. We also do a lot of like specific projects. So a lot right. of times other agencies hire us just to do like the hard stuff, mm-hmm. you know, an API integration here or fulfillment integration or, you know, whatever else, custom module. We get hired a lot for that kind of thing.
Right.
So we have a couple different things we want to make sure of. First of all, it's really important to us that there is a good ecosystem of e-commerce add-ons for Expression Engine. It just makes business sense for us, given how much of our business is tied up into e-commerce.
Right.
So it makes sense for us to invest in that, even if nothing else. Also, by buying CartThrob, we get a lot of incoming business now, because mm-hmm. a lot of people rightfully see us as the people behind CartThrob. It gives us authority that we know what we're doing, which is true. I hope people think we know what we're doing. And we've gotten business from it. We've gotten some great projects, really fun projects just by owning it. So I don't see us transitioning to be a product company.
Okay.
I see us continuing to be a services company that has CartThrob, and it fills some strategic goals for us, and also just as a benefit to the EE community. It's a great product that we have out there. Does that answer your question?
No, it's definitely something that I know that a lot in our Expression Engine community battle/struggle with. A lot of people seem to start off services and then they dip their toe into products, and then they either go all in on the products and dump the services, or they try to do some sort of hybrid. Or it's just interesting to me to just try to figure out like, well, why? Like, why did you decide to do that? Or are you going to be adding more to that? And, you know, there's some that started to do a product offering for their initial business, and then they dumped it completely because it didn't make sense for them. Yeah. So it's just, I just wanted to have context over, is CartThrob the first of many, or is CartThrob, you know, almost an anomaly?
Yeah. I think right now it's almost an anomaly,
mm-hmm.
but it's an anomaly that makes a lot of strategic sense for us given our expertise here.
Right.
And so it's funny, after we acquired CartThrob, no less than 4 other add-on makers reached out to me asking me if we were interested in acquiring
right.
their add-ons also.
Right.
And it's okay. I totally get it. And I was honest with them, and I said, we're not really getting into the add-on business. CartThrob just, it makes so much sense with the kind of business we already do.
I think that's what's interesting about anyone who's operating a business, how you make big decisions that are, you know, an anomaly, a shift from your normal operating procedure. I mean, Leia and I have these conversations all the time when we get some idea about something we might want to do. And I think you're mentioning that it had some strategic relevance is really important, because taking on an add-on that is as extensive as CartThrob is and as big as the support needs are, to me, it would have to be more than just, we want to make sure it keeps going. There has to be some sort of strategic reason.
Definitely. I totally agree with you. Hopefully we'll find that it was a good decision for us.
I know it's always hindsight really tells you if you're right or not. So let's talk about CartThrob. Let's fill our listeners in, some who probably may not be familiar with CartThrob, but what are some of the core features of it as it stands today? And do you feel it's suitable for all types of e-commerce? Like, is it something that's a good solution for simple payments as well as full inventory management or subscriptions, events, somewhere in the middle is it best suited for?
Absolutely. Yes to all of the above. We again, I just, you know, it's because I sound very self-serving saying this, but just to remind people, you know, we were huge users of CartThrob before we bought it. That's one of the reasons we bought it, is because we were such big users of it. I mean, we have clients that are doing tens of millions of page views a month, and they're selling millions of dollars of inventory, and it's physical, and it syncs with their, like, their, you know, brick and mortar store, and it syncs with their fulfillment center, and it syncs with their CRM, and that's on CartThrob. And then we have clients selling, you know, one digital download a month for $15, and it just emails to them to fulfill it, and that's on CartThrob. And we have everything in between. I feel like CartThrob is a great product. I feel like it's a great product for a couple of different reasons. First of all, we mentioned it before, but it stores orders and entries. That's a really powerful thing. First of all, EE is obviously built around entries. So when you have orders being stored in entries, and when you have products being stored in entries, suddenly you can use that EXP channel entries tag to do anything. You know, you can use any custom field type to store information about the product. CartThrob out of the box comes with like a modifier field, so you can store, you know, blue shirt, black shirt, this one's +$5, this one's -$3, whatever it might be. But, you know, with CartThrob, you can also have a playa field in your product entry, and you can have like a matrix, and, you know, you can have anything. That's the power of it. The other thing is it has all these extension hooks. So we constantly have people contacting us saying, oh, I need to sync with this system or that system. I need to check with, you know, an e-commerce fraud system before processing the order. So there are hooks every step of the process. There's an extension hook that fires right before you add something to the cart, right after adding to the cart, when you're updating your cart, when you're checking out before we hit the credit card processor, after we hit the credit card processor, if the order passes, if the order fails, if it's declined. Like, there's extension hooks every step of the way. And if you use CartThrob subscriptions, which is a like an add-on to CartThrob, you know, you have more extension hooks. You have hooks like right before an initial charge fires. You have extension hooks right before something expires, renewals. So you can really do anything you want. But even if you're not the kind of person that develops your own extensions, just the power out of the box, having access to all of the unique, all of the native EE tags is just a really, really powerful combination. And, you know, it means that you can build your whole cart using EE templates. So you don't have to learn like our weird templating language or something. Just your regular EE templates become checkout templates.
I think one thing that stood out for me also when I did my first CartThrob project, and I took a quick look at the documentation the other day, and it's still pretty much in the same shape it was, but it was pretty thorough. It was kind of my first experience, and this was a few years back, but my first experience with an add-on that was really well documented. You know, all the things that I could do, but one of the things that still to this day stand out for me, and it has influenced my own internal checklist for e-commerce projects, but is the CartThrob checklist of the stuff you're supposed to ask your client before you begin configuring the system, and even knowing right. like what kind of configuration you're going to need. Like if you're going to need like the subscriptions add-on or maybe even CT admin or things like that. I also feel like that is as valuable as having, you know, great features as having great documentation.
Totally. I totally agree with you. And, you know, full credit goes to Mighty Big Robot and the Chris's, the previous owners for that. I mean, they put together this great documentation. And also one of the things on the site that I really like that says all them is with each part of CartThrob, with all the little CartThrob add-ons, they give you a sense just in like real-world terms how complicated it'll be. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is a couple hours for a developer to do, or this is like a couple weeks for a developer to do, just so that you get a sense of like what am I getting into here for each of these things. And they have pages about PCI compliance, just all kinds of interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's extremely valuable, especially if you're new to an e-commerce project. You know, I think CartThrob might have been my first e-commerce project ever. And I was like, oh, there's something called PCI compliance. Like, I didn't even know that. So, but, you know, but my client didn't know I didn't know that because I read through all this documentation and came to them prepared with questions. It really helped me seem a lot more informed than I was. It helped me ask the right questions so that I didn't drop the ball.
Yeah, and that's great to hear because, you know, our 99% of the people buying this product or choosing it are developers, right? They're very rarely going to have an end client that says, I want CartThrob. End client's going to come to their developer and say, I want e-commerce. time. The developers to make that decision. So we want to be very friendly to developers.
So regarding that, do you have any plans on expanding or improving on the documentation or tutorials for Kartthrob?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things we're doing is we are mining the help desk history.
Mm.
And even in the last couple of weeks, honestly, we see the same types of questions come up over and over and over. And it's no fault of the people submitting. It's our fault for not having better documentation. So if we get a question more than once on support, I think that's a good candidate for us to just add to the documentation. Because who knows how many people are struggling with that and haven't even submitted support.
Right.
So that's good. And then we really want to add more examples. We find is that even on pages where parameters are well spread out, are well spelled out, people just don't know, you know, they have very unique needs. And so if we can give examples like, okay, if I was selling a t-shirt, here's what I'd do. If I was selling a download that needs to be unlocked, here's what I'd do. If I was selling subscriptions, here's what I'd do. Just give as many examples as possible. I think people can use this as a good starting point.
Right. I know for myself, that's the most helpful, like samples in context.
Yeah, of course. Because, you know, you want to see how things are supposed to work. And you want to make sure, like, it's weird. Sometimes you don't know if you're doing it wrong or if the software is broken, right?
Right. Right.
So we want to make sure that we are giving people enough resources that they know, all right, they're doing it right, or at least they know what the right thing to do is.
So you've mentioned a number of times that Vector Media Group had long used Kartthrob for projects, but I'm curious, have you ever used any other e-commerce solution, whether it's for EE or for another CMS, or even built like a custom from scratch e-commerce solution?
Yes, all of the above. So we've used the other main e-commerce expression engine modules, and those we've had good luck with, but we, again, this is very self-serving, but we had this opinion before we owned Kartthrob. We just always thought that Kartthrob was the best one. We have also used other platforms like Magento and Shop. So systems like Magento and Xcart that are like self-hosted, and then systems like Shopify, which are, you know, like SaaS.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, we've done tons of custom e-commerce projects in the past where we're not even, you know, using an existing system. In most cases, we're doing that when we're not using Expression Engine. So if we're building a site on like Laravel or like Python or something, and we're using a framework, a lot of times we'll build our own e-commerce integration.
So, I mean, for you, is that the decision maker? If it's on EE, it's always going to be Kartthrob. And if it's on something else, then you're going to look elsewhere?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, I would say that these days we probably would absolutely default to Kartthrob, whereas in the past we might have like, analyzed some other options.
Right, of course.
But one of the reasons in the past we might have analyzed some other options was never because the Kartthrob functionality wasn't there. It was because of Kartthrob bugs or support, right? So if we thought that we could get better support or better bug fixes from someone else, we might have gone that way. These days, we're in control of that destiny, and hopefully people will see that they're getting much better support and bug fixing than they were in the past. And so, you know, at that point, we feel like Kartthrob has it all. It has the best feature set along with the great support that people deserve.
I'm just a little bit curious, though, like in the situations where you're still in that position where you're trying to figure out whether it's EE or Laravel or Kraft or whatever, how do you decide which solution is the best fit, or even Shopify? Why would you go, okay, this needs to be like, you know, an expression engine Kartthrob versus, you know, static with Shopify?
Yeah, that's a really good question. It's a lot of factors. So we really don't do that much Shopify work. We tend to be hired for stuff that's a little bit more custom than Shopify stuff. Shopify is a great system that I speak very highly about in general, but one of the big downsides of Shopify is that you don't have a CMS. You have like a product management system. You can edit your products and you can put up like static pages. But if you compare the publishing power of something like Expression Engine or something like Kraft, something like Shopify, there's just no question. There's just no comparison. So a lot of our clients are these big publishers that have an e-commerce component. And if you're a big publisher and you're publishing, you know, dozens of articles a day or hundreds a month or something, and you have to do like tagging and related content, and you also do webinars and you do events, and you have all this like all kinds of content on the site, and you also have an e-commerce component where maybe you're selling white papers and you also have a premium subscription, like Shopify is not really going to be able to do that. And even something like Magento is not really going to be able to do that. So if it's a publishing platform that has e-commerce, at that point, we'll we'll typically do Expression Engine plus Kartthrob, or I guess now Craft plus, you know, Craft Commerce or something. If it's just a straight e-commerce site, I mean, we'll still often look at Expression Engine and Kartthrob, only because, again, even a straight e-commerce site that has almost no publishing, they're going to have some content. They're going to have marketing pages. They're going to want to do, like, related products. They're going to want those kinds of things. I guess I would say that if we're deciding to use a framework versus a CMS, lots of other decisions have gone into that already. Like if it's just a pretty straightforward e-commerce site, we could probably use an existing CMS. If the site is so custom that an existing CMS isn't going to work and we're using a framework, at that point the decision has been made that we're using a framework and so we can't use Kartthrob, you know? The decision happened because of other reasons, basically.
So to get to that point, I'm guessing there's a lot of communication with a client. Is that part, do you have a long discovery process, or does that happen during the sales process, even before you engage?
A little bit of both. So we have to have a tiny bit of discovery, or maybe even more than a tiny bit of discovery as part of the sales process, just to make sure everyone's on the same page. They have a budget that's going to work for us. We're going to propose a budget that's going to work for them. We can do their features. We need to make sure they're a good fit. They don't want something that we don't know how to build. But if it's a really big site, we'll typically propose a paid discovery process. So that's when they pay us. We do a full discovery with them. We put, you know, real like development and project management and design resources to it. And they walk away with a full functional specification and a really exact estimate from us, which hopefully they come to us and we can build the whole thing. But even if not, you know, they walk away with something that they can shop around to agencies, which is a really specific document of everything that they want.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any specific questions that you think is often missed by developers to ask clients?
Yeah, I think there are a couple. So one would be, who are the users of the site from an admin perspective day to day? I feel like sometimes what happens is your main point of contact at the client tells you everything they want in the CMS.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. But they forget about like the intern that needs to add all this content every day. Or they forget about like the CEO that may need to review stuff but doesn't really need like a whole login to the system and a whole complicated thing. Or they forget about the editor-in-chief. Like sometimes your point of contact at the client is not, you know, is not the only one using a site.
Right.
So you talk about like the visitor experience, but you don't really talk about the author experience
right.
a lot.
Right.
We really like to dive into the author experience. The other thing is, you know, being realistic with the client about trade-offs with infrastructure. You know, if you ask a client, well, how often can your site be down there in a year? All of your clients are going to say, we can never have any downtime
right,
period.
Of course.
You know? And so I will say, okay, that's no problem. We will price for you a fully redundant Amazon cloud system, and it's going to be multi-zone and, you know, DNS failover and round robin. And by the way, it's going to be $1,500 a month. And they're going to say, well, hold on a second. So I think it's really important to have that conversation with the client and say, nobody likes downtime. And certainly we're not planning for downtime. But, you know, here are the different infrastructure options we can do. If we do this, like a single server, maybe a multi-zone database, you'll probably be down for like, I don't know, based on Amazon, I'm just using the Amazon cloud as an example, but, you know, any host, like, you know, for 15 minutes once every 4 months. Is that okay? Is that acceptable to you based on the cost difference? And I think being honest about that conversation, helping clients understand that, you know, even like Google and Facebook don't have 100% downtime and they spend
right.
millions of dollars on infrastructure is much better.
That's actually the first time anyone we've asked that particular question has mentioned infrastructure, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane, actually, because now that, you know, when you mention that, it's like, yes, of course, we should plan. The downtime is a reality for every website. You know, we never expect it or want it to happen, but it's an eventuality.
Absolutely. 100%. And I think clients are really smart. They just, you know, you need to help them understand what trade-offs
mm-hmm.
are. You know,
right.
all infrastructure and hosting and computer stuff is all about trade-offs always.
And is there anything specifically e-commerce related that you talk to your clients about with regard to infrastructure? Like, especially if they have a lot of products?
Yeah, I mean, there's like some clients have a lot of products but few transactions. Some clients have a few products and a lot of transactions, and some clients have a lot of everything. And so, first of all, one of the questions is, are they selling a commodity that is going to be super competitive and they need every little leg up they can get? Or is it something that people are coming to them specifically and, you know, they're seeking them out? And the reason I ask this is, you know, if you're selling a commodity, then you could look at those studies from like Amazon, where if you shave 20 milliseconds off your page load time, you get an increase in your conversion rate by 0.2%, right? And so you're in a super competitive market. We should spend time on that stuff. Not to say we shouldn't always spend time on optimization, right? But if you're selling a more unique experience and your customers are coming to you, then maybe we should focus more of because you're a client, you have a limited budget. Maybe we should focus more of our time on like the experience type stuff, you know, and it's okay if it takes 50 milliseconds more to load the specific page. I don't know. That's part of the trade-offs thing that we have to think about. The other thing is, again, going back to PCI compliance, I feel like I'm always talking about, I'm sorry to bore everybody on it, but you know, every client says, well, I really want to store credit cards so that at the checkout, they can just select their card and check out with it. And that's great. I think that's a big benefit to a lot of stores. But and to be PCI compliant, that means you're using like your credit card processor's vault system, and that just adds a lot of complexity. So we do have to decide, you know, how much additional marginal revenue do you think that's going to drive for you, and is that worth the extra cost for us to spend the time to do it? And we help them understand. Another good example of that, by the way, is like the credit card processor choice. So Stripe charges 2.9% plus 30 cents. Realistically, you could negotiate with Authorize.net and get a cheaper price than that. You could get, you know, I don't know, 2.6% plus 25 cents or something. But it might take us a lot less time to integrate with Stripe, especially if you're doing vault stuff. So the question for the client is, how many transactions are you really doing here? If you're doing like a dozen transactions a month, pay the extra 0.2% to Stripe. It's just so much easier. You're not even going to really save money by negotiating with Authorize.net compared to our extra time implementing that. But if you're a client that are doing, you know, $500,000 a month in revenue, you know, those credit card processing savings quickly add up. And so, you know, even if it's a credit card processor we've never integrated with before, us spending 4 days integrating with it ends up saving our client a lot of money. So there are those kinds of decisions too.
I love all those questions. Especially, I mean, it's a no-brainer once someone says it and you're like, oh, aha, but you know, you said how many products do they have, but also how many transactions do they have? And I think that's a really critical. Often we've gotten inquiries and where they're like, well, these are the number of products. It's not that big of a project, but you need to ask that other key question about the number of transactions.
Totally. If they're doing a lot of transactions, you have all kinds of extra stuff around maybe like database optimization. I don't even know. Like a lot of things come into it. And so it's really important stuff to understand that.
So given all the experience that you've had with e-commerce, what would be your best advice to anyone who's implementing an e-commerce solution for a client? Maybe like your top tip.
I would say make sure you really understand the flow of an e-commerce transaction. Really make sure, like, do you understand really what a gateway is? You know, Stripe and Braintree have kind of stopped the distinction between gateways and merchant accounts to a large extent. But you still, do you understand that whole flow? You know, adding to your cart, checking out, adding your billing information, transaction gets sent to the gateway, it either gets declined or approved, you know, like, and then we show a receipt or we show an error page. Like that flow, I think a lot of people don't get it when they're designing their cart. They're doing things that just don't really make a lot of sense as far as implementation goes, or that are just making their lives a lot harder.
Yeah, I think one thing that's helped me when I've worked on e-commerce solutions is that I shop online all the time from lots of different vendors. And so you get to experience bad e-commerce and good e-commerce. I think that, you know, being a user is also really helpful to inform your design process. And also, you know, for me, I had a client, I forget the specifics, but he wanted to install some sort of PayPal thing that he perceived would reduce the number of clicks that the user would have to make. Because for him, that was it. It was reduce the number of clicks. That was his priority. I went through it and actually added to, and I had to push back and explain to him that PayPal may be selling this as a quicker, more streamlined checkout process, but it actually increases the number of steps that a user has to take. Yeah, being informed on what it feels like to be a user of those systems, I think is really useful because you can describe it in context and then you can design for it.
Yeah, I think you made a really good point just now that when these clients are going to get inundated with offers that make a lot of promises and in some ways go over their heads, like, you know, PayPal stuff, but then they're going to get like fraudulent type emails from SSL vendors, you know, like those fake emails. Oh, we're the official SSL registry of America. And your SSL is running out. Your domain's expiring. Someone in China is filing a trademark on you. And like, it's just so much stuff that they need to deal with. And so helping your client understand these things, or at least making sure your client knows to go to you as a developer, mm-hmm. at least to ask about these things, is really important.
Now, what about your best advice or a top tip for someone who's trying to develop or maintain an e-commerce solution like Vector Media Group is doing now with Kartthrob?
A solution, like an actual platform?
Yeah, or an add-on or whatever someone would call it.
I'm going to use two things. You said one, but I'm going to cheat a little bit. So one of them is just making it really easy for developers. I cannot tell you how many just incoming support requests we get for the Kartthrob that's just, it's not even for support, it's just, can you integrate with this? Can you integrate with this? Mm. And I would hate to have to write back and say no, but what I can write back legitimately is say, you know, we have not done this, but we have all the extension hooks there for it. And mm-hmm. if you have a developer, or you can hire us to do it, or any developer you know that knows PHP and extension hooks can do that. And so we can legitimately say, yeah, we can integrate with anything. It's true. Because mm-hmm. you're never going to be able to build in all that stuff, right? So you have to take advantage of developers and their expertise. The other thing is support is really important. These are people that bought your add-on. They're selling things. If there's a problem, their clients are losing money and are breathing down their necks. And you just have to... Support can be frustrating at times, but you just have to understand that, right? That these problems are manifesting as lost revenue for your customer's customer. Mm-hmm. And that makes for a very stressful situation. So you just have to be respectful of that in the support. I think calmly explain things and help as best you can.
So we got a listener question from Brandon Kelly regarding pricing and support models, especially because that possibly was one of the reasons you guys need to take over from the previous developers was it was just unsustainable, and they were also such a small team. Are you guys thinking of changing up how Kartthrob is currently priced, especially now that you guys are thinking of the EE3 upgrade? Like, what were you guys thinking in terms of pricing Kartthrob?
We have not made a decision yet, but we are definitely evaluating all of our options. You know, what we want to make sure of is that we can afford to give people the support and attention that they deserve. And we don't know exactly what that means yet as far as pricing. And I'm not necessarily saying there's going to be like a big price difference. I'm not saying there's not. We're not sure. We're trying to balance this desire to make sure Kartthrob is a well-used platform with the desire to make sure that we can afford to support people.
Right.
And something I do like to remind people of is that if it wasn't for our investment in Kartthrob, there would not be a Kartthrob. It would not exist. So we do have to find a way to make sure that investment comes back to us.
Right.
You know, that's important for us just because we're a business, and it's important. It's one of the reasons we bought it. And so, like, when we see sometimes people submitting a support request and they bought their license 4 years ago, and it's something that's specific to like their server or their unique thing, and we say, you know, we really need to charge you for this, and they argue with us, I think at that point, it's totally reasonable for us to say, listen, this is not a problem to Kartthrob itself. This is a problem on, you know, your server. It's unique. You've not paid Kartthrob a dollar since, you know, 2010. This is not anything that we have to find a way to make sure our time is getting paid for. So that was a really long answer. The answer is, we don't know. We want to make sure we have something that's fair, where people can buy the product, feel like it's supported, they're paying a fair price, they're not getting nickel and dimed.
Right.
But on the other hand, you know, we can afford to keep making updates and changes.
Any chance that you've seen a good model in either the EE community or another framework or CMS community that you're interested in borrowing from? Because this is something that, you know, I feel like every time we've talked to an add-on developer, this is the biggest challenge, pricing and support and making sure that, you know, they can provide the quality of support, but they're getting something from that.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that I like this following company support model, but I just want to be clear. I'm not saying that we are going to adopt this support model before everybody gets very worried. But we, in our company, we use a system called Jira, which is our like issue tracking and agile management tool. And Jira like runs our whole company, basically. Like everything our developers are doing at any time is in Jira, and all of our client communications are in Jira. We don't use Basecamp or anything like that. The way Jira prices is that they charge a one-time initial fee, and that gets you a year of updates and support and the software, and you can run the software forever, for as long as you want. You have 1 year of what they call maintenance, which is updates to the product and support. Then after that 1 year, you can pay maintenance yearly. And again, if you just kind of keep up with your maintenance contract, you get updates to the software that are all included for free, And you get updates to except for like major updates, and you get access to support. And that maintenance cost is like some small percentage of your initial purchase cost. So what I like about it is that we paid Jira, and we pay them yearly fee, and I think we pay them like, I don't know, $10,000 a year or $12,000 a year or something like that. It's a lot of money. But I know that I can submit a support request to them. They answer me within like an hour every time. I get all my bug fixes, all my maintenance updates, and I don't mind paying because it's such an important part of our business. So again, not saying we're going to adopt that for Kartthrob. I don't necessarily know if it makes as much sense for Kartthrob, but I think that people are willing to pay for critical software to them as long as they feel like they're getting the value from it.
Yeah, I agree. So now that you're heading into getting Kartthrob ready for EE version 3, I was wondering, do you have any thoughts for the CMS developers, the one who actually create the CMS? And if you have any thoughts on what things they need to keep in mind to help developers create seamless like add-ons?
You know, I cannot speak highly enough of EliseLab in the EE 3 transition. I mean, if you compare it to the EE2 transition from a couple of years ago, it's night and day. You know, they like pre-announced EE2, and then 2 years later there was like a beta, and then 6 months later there was another beta, and then we had version 2.1.3 for like, it felt like 5 years, you know? And it is such a difference now. I think they're doing an amazing job. They came out with developer previews. They were super communicative to developers. There were a couple extension hooks missing in some of the early versions of 3, and they're totally resolving that in 3.1, which should be out, you know, shortly, I guess. I really like what they've been doing. They've been extremely open to feedback.
Speaking of EE version 3, and I know you guys are putting resources towards Kartthrob being compatible with that, do you have a timeline that you can share?
No way.
I had to ask.
It's very complicated software, as everybody knows, so we are really reticent to give a timeline until we're totally sure of it, because we don't want to make promises that we can't keep.
So is there going to be anything new on the horizon, though, for Kartthrob that you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the rolling in of a whole bunch of CT admin features, but done more nicely. You know, and that's, again, no shot to Eric Lamb, who did an amazing job. But I think that, you know, we have a full design team here.
Right.
So I think getting our design team to think about the UX of reporting and what order history can look like, and customer reporting and just product reporting, all those things could be very interesting.
Oh, that's exciting.
Awesome. This was a great, great discussion. And what I love most is that you actually gave advice that I don't think anyone has mentioned in our past e-commerce episodes, regardless of the CMS. So thanks.
Oh, you're welcome. Happy I can help.
But before we finish up, we have our rapid fire 10 questions so our listeners can get to know you a bit better. Are you ready, Matt?
Absolutely.
So first question, Android or iOS?
iOS.
If you were stranded on a desert island and can only bring 3 things, what would you bring?
Do I have Wi-Fi? Like, does my iPhone count?
3 things, that's it.
Okay, I'll say my iPhone, and I'll just kind of, we'll just wink away the Wi-Fi part of that. I guess that counts for my music. Oh, my wife? And my kids. Does those count? I guess, do I have to choose 1 kid? So I limited to 3. The iPhone's definitely first.
Still first. That's too funny.
What's your favorite TV show?
You know, we really love Nathan For You.
It's funny.
It's an amazing show. He's so weird. He's a very bizarre guy. I don't know. He's a very weird guy. I like it.
What's your favorite dessert?
I really like crispy M&Ms. People don't seem to know that those exist. It was like
the Rice Krispies inside chocolate, right?
Yeah, exactly. Ooh. So it's regular M&Ms, but they've got exactly like basically Rice Krispies inside. It's unbelievable. It's like life-changing. Those would be on the desert. Oh, those would be on the desert island too. So.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
That's a very good question. I don't know, maybe being like a teacher. I think that could be cool. Like a professor, not like an elementary school, right? Because those kids are obnoxious, but like a professor or something. That could be fun.
All right. What profession would you not like to try?
I honestly, web design. So I'm like so happy that I'm on the development team. here and that we have our designers and they're unbelievable and they love their jobs and I just don't know how they do it. Because when projects get to development, there's a spec, right? And we know if something works because it like either works towards a spec or not.
Right.
When you're in design, good designers have this amazing ability to like figure out something out of nowhere, which is just so impressive to me, but not a thing I could ever do.
What's the latest article or blog post you read?
So I read this morning, Stephen Levy did a something about DoorDash, which is this delivery startup on the West Coast that my friend used to work at. So he doesn't work there anymore, and I was just very interested in reading about it.
If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
I guess turning invisible.
Hmm.
What music do you like to work to?
Like indie dance, like alt pop.
All right, last question. Cats or dogs?
Dogs, not even a question.
That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for returning to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
In case our listeners want to follow up with you, where can they find you online?
I am MRW on Twitter, just the three letters, MRW. And our website is vectormediagroup.com.
Thanks, Matt. We loved having you on the show again.
Thanks so much.
Control Click is produced by Bright Umbrella, a web services agency obsessed with happy clients. Today's podcast would not be possible without the support of this episode's sponsor. Thank you, Ellis Lab.
We'd also like to thank our partners, Arcus Tech, Devotee, and EE Insider.
And thanks to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to know more about Control Click, make sure you follow us on Twitter at Control Clickcast or visit our website, controlclickcast.com. And if you liked this episode, please give us a review on Stitcher or iTunes or both.
Don't forget to tune in to our last episode of 2015 with our annual year in review. Our intern, Aaron Lewis, will be joining us once again as we reflect on the past year. And be sure to stay tuned to controlclickcast.com/schedule for our upcoming 2016 episodes.
This is Leah Alcantara
and Emily Lewis
signing off for Control Clickcast. See you next time.
Cheers.